Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. It is a glorious new year, and today we're going to talk about one of the most important relationships you have. That's your relationship with your real estate agent or broker. How do you find a great agent? How do you work with a great agent? How do you make sure that agent makes you a lot of money? Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. It's a new year and time to learn some new strategies, discover some new markets, and network with hundreds of other real estate investors at the Dallas Real Estate Investor Expo. With more than 70 presentation sessions and dozens of exhibitors, this is your chance to learn from the experts and meet plenty of prospective team members. It all takes place January 24th and 25th in Dallas, Texas, and you'll save 20% when you register with the Real Estate Guys special code. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com under events and join us at the Dallas Real Estate Investor Expo. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program, now entering our 19th year of broadcast. It is 2015. Let's meet the guys, our co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
Back with us, the man we call the godfather of real estate, who's been investing in seven different decades, Bob Helms.
This should be a fun show. We all have spent some time either being or being with realtors, and there are a lot of secrets of how to get along with those rascals.
Absolutely, and it is one of your most critical relationships. We think this is a relationship business, and you've heard that if you've listened to our show over and over. Certainly last week we talked a lot about that. There's a lot of critical relationships you have as an investor, but arguably one of the most important is the person that is going to source and find property for you and represent you. And those are two different things, right? What does a broker or an agent do? Well, they do a lot. They legally represent you, which is important. They have a legal fiduciary duty to treat you at the utmost level of practice. That's important. There's a lot of folks out there that say, you want to cut out the commission. You want to, go around the agent. Here's the seven things your broker will never tell you. In my opinion, that's a bunch of crap. I'm a big believer in using professionals because they don't cost you money, they make you money, and we're going to make that case before we're done today. It doesn't mean that we've never been in a principal-to-principal deal. Sometimes that makes sense, but rarely, because part of what your agent does for you or your broker does for you is create this third-party, arm's-length ability to transact with people. You lose something in negotiation when you're dealing directly with the principal. And it doesn't matter how good you think you are at negotiation, there's a good chance the other guy's better. And your broker is in the middle of that by design. In many transactions, there's two agents, one representing the seller and one representing the buyer. And that way, we keep them in their corners, which is great, and allow commerce to happen. Now, I think before we go any further, Bob, we need to understand the difference between a real estate broker and a real estate agent.
Yes, and it's, first of all, experience. In order to have a broker's license, you typically have to have been a practicing agent for about 2 years. It'll vary from area to area. The idea is of being a broker, you also have the responsibility of supervising any and all agents who work for you. So you must look at their work product. You have a responsibility to be a teacher. Most importantly, you are the company if you're the owner, manager, broker, and you're responsible for all those people. They're not your employees. They're still your responsibility.
Yeah, the responsibility is huge, right? As a broker owner, as the person whose license is on the line, your license as a real estate broker is on the line for every agent that works for you. So not all brokers have offices in higher agents. But in order to have offices in higher agents, you need to be a broker. Now, again, real estate law varies from state to state in the U.S. And in other countries, many of the countries we work in, there is no formal licensing requirement, which makes a real estate broker just a title, just to understand what that looks like going in. In the U.S., where most of our listeners are, you're going to probably want to be represented by a broker or an agent who works for a broker. So part of it is semantics. You'll hear people say all the time, people refer to me all the time as a real estate broker. You used to do real estate brokerage. I've never been a real estate broker. I've only been a licensed salesperson in one state. By design, I did not want the added duty of being a broker, and I never expected to have agents working for me. So I had no desire to ever be a real estate broker. There's other people who say, I want to get my broker's license, as though having your license means all of a sudden you're going to have money, right? It's the funniest thing when people say, I'm working in this job for this company, but I have my real estate broker's license and I like to keep it active just so I have something to fall back on.
What an interesting idea that is. What you'll have to fall back on is in direct proportion to how much work you've done with it, how much you understand everything it takes to do the job, and whether you're practicing. The word practicing is used in real estate just like it is in law. You're either practicing or you're not.
So obviously being arm's length is huge. I think another big part about hiring a professional is gives you a chance to piggyback on their knowledge, their reputation, and their relationships.
You know, when you go out, we talk about this at the syndication seminar, how important it is when you go into the real estate investing business, especially if you want to do it on a big scale, and hopefully everybody listening wants to do it on a big scale, you got to go out in the marketplace and build your reputation. When you talk about the things that you need, you know, whatever you don't have, you can get from other people, right? If you think about it, right? You know, so the whole concept of syndication is raising money, but there's a lot more than that, right? You can borrow other people's credit. You can borrow somebody else's balance sheet. You can borrow somebody else's Rolodex relationships. You can borrow somebody else's brand. And part of building your brand is who you're associated with. If you're a new real estate investor and you're in a community and you're trying to get established so that people who are in the deal flow want to do business with you, want to give you deals, are going to have your back, and you're part of that community, who introduces you into that community? Who are you associated with? If they have a good reputation, that'll rub off on you. If they have a bad reputation, that'll rub off on you. And so it's important for you to understand that the selection of your real estate representation in any market is a strategic decision that you have to do with intention. And it's a lot more complicated than you might think, because it isn't just about who'll give you the best price, because the transaction will come and go. Transactions are just that. They're just transactions. They come, they go, they come, they go. And building a business is a matter of building goodwill, building a network of people, how they feel about you and your brand when they hear your name. Do they run the other way, or do they embrace you? If they have a hot deal, are you on their short list, or are you the last guy they're going to call? You need to be strategic about positioning yourself. And your selection of your representation in that market is a big, big part of that.
Absolutely. Agents have reputations. I can remember many years ago when we were on tour. And what tour is one day a week, typically the office, the real estate office you work in, will go out and tour all the new listings. That way, when someone calls in on an ad or somebody has a question, you kind of know the inventory. It's a great way for an agent in the marketplace to get to know what's available. And we were on a tour, which means that there's a bunch of cars piggybacking through to see listings. And we're in a car with a bunch of other agents, we're going to see a listing by a top producing agent. And everyone in the car is like, I wouldn't sell her listing if it was the last listing on earth. Oh, I'm not even going to go to look at this house. I won't deal with her. And I'm listening going, oh my goodness. Imagine the poor people that have listed their house with this person who was a very aggressive marketer, but her reputation is nobody wants to work with her. That is critical to understand.
There's dollars on that, people. I mean, you know, that means less people competing for the listing. That means less people bidding it up. That could mean tens of thousands of dollars of difference in bottom line proceeds to the seller simply because they have the wrong agent.
So let's talk about the basic two categories of agents. And when I say agent or broker for the rest of the show, I'm going to use those terms interchangeably. The person legally representing you. You have a listing agent, a person that represents a seller trying to sell a property. And you have a selling agent, which is the agent representing a buyer trying to buy a property. Can be one and the same, what we call dual agency, where the same agent can represent both. That happens when, say, an agent has a property listed and somebody without an agent calls that agent to find out about the property and they end up representing both parties. Now, we're not going to get into whether or not that's a good idea or not. In our years of practice, we were able to, I think, successfully represent dual agency, but there's a lot of people who frown on that. We'll leave that ball in your court to decide. But the point is, if I'm looking to sell a property, then my listing agent is going to do several things. Their job is to market and expose my property. One of the greatest tools ever designed in the history of Earth is the multiple listing service. The multiple listing service in your area allows agents and brokers to put inventory in the market to get the cooperation of all of the rest of the agent community. And let's spend a minute on that. This is under the No Investor Left Behind. You probably understand this, but in case you don't, the way organized real estate works is someone takes a listing, a listing agent takes a listing and negotiates a commission. And then typically they are willing to share or split that commission with an agent who represents a buyer coming in. It is a standard practice. How much commission? That is completely negotiable. But if you were to call 10 agencies in your immediate area and say, hi, what would you charge me to list my property? You're going to get a very narrow range, right? Let's say that, I don't know, pick a number, 6%. They say for 6%, we'll represent you. In an area where that's true, typically that agent who takes that listing for 6% will then go to the entire agent community, people in their office, people in other offices in their company, and people in other offices outside of their company and independents and all that, and say, hey, I have this great new listing. If you bring in a buyer, I will pay you 3%. or half of the listing commission. Now, again, half isn't magic. 6% isn't magic. There's markets that we're in where the going rate is 10%. There's markets where the going rate is 4.5%. It just kind of depends on the market. But the mindset is the representation is split. Now, the reason the MLS is so great is if I had to rely on me being able to, as a listing agent, and I'm not one, but if I were, if I was having to find the buyers myself, that's a pretty narrow job, right? What's the chances that the 15-unit apartment building I list, I also happen to have the perfect buyer for? It might happen, and it has happened in our history, but much better if I can go to the hundreds or thousands of agents in the marketplace and say, hey, if you guys want to cooperate, come and bring your buyer. It's much better exposure. So the MLS is a great tool if you're selling real estate. The MLS is not such a great tool if you're buying real estate.
Yeah, in fact, let's talk about being a buyer's agent versus a seller's agent. Classically, agents are taught to become listing agents. Why is that? Because if you are the listing agent, you definitely always participate in the transaction. That is, you're certain that you have a client, the property, you will be in the transaction. If you're a buyer's agent and you're trailing buyers around trying to find a property for them, get a one they like, write a contract on it, you may or may not be in the transaction. In fact, you won't be until you find that satisfactory property, write an offer, get it accepted, etc. So the classic long-term look is, let's all be listing agents. That's not a bad way to approach the business, but if that's all we had, there would be no transactions. So it's key that we deal with knowledgeable agents on both sides of the transaction. And the reason they hire an agent is to create that isolation, that arm's length that Robert talked about, so that they can confide in you and talk to their agent about what they want and not be required to talk to that person on the other side, the buyer or seller.
And certainly there are agents and brokers that represent buyers and sellers, but it is a specialty. It's a little bit different job. The person who's marketing listings has a little bit different role in the transaction than the person who's representing the buyer. And for most of the people listening, you guys want to acquire more real estate. You want more real estate. So you're interested in how do I find the deals and who am I going to get that's going to get me the right deals and get me the right price and negotiate well and all that. And that's an important part of what your buyer's agent or selling agent does.
And the other part, just talking about the selection of the buyer's agent, when you have a buyer's agent who has a great reputation, there's going to be people who want to do business with that person because they know that they get their deals done, right? At the end of the day, these are salespeople and they get paid commission and they want the deal to get done. And so, yes, they want to get the highest price for the seller if you're talking about the motivation of both parties. But they also want to get the deal done. If you have an agent whose reputation is they get deals done, and that's the shortest path to a payday for all the parties involved, then you don't necessarily have to be the very, very best offer. And you can get a little bit more margin in the deal by making sure. And the seller's served by that too, right? Because the seller wants, they listed it because they wanted it sold. And so if they have to give up a little bit, just like any merchant who's selling anything, hey, I'm going to lower the price a little bit to get a quicker sale, move my inventory faster. That's perfectly fine. So again, be strategic in your selection of your buyer's agent, because if they have a good reputation in the marketplace, it can actually help you get better deals on the buyer side.
I remember this exact thing happened to us. And think about this, as the market changes, sometimes you're in a rip-roar market, sometimes you're not, and you're going to react differently, and what you require your agent to do is going to be differently. We were in a market where we were representing a buyer, and it was a very, very hot market. We made an offer on a property, had been on the market less than 24 hours. There were three other offers. And the agent, a great broker who'd been in the business for a long time, called us up and said, hey, Helms Brothers. Now, we're not brothers, but that's what they used to call us in our community. Helms Brothers, got your offer here. It looks good. I'll tell you this, it's not the highest price, but you guys are by far the strongest agent in the hunt. All I need to know from you is you tell me this is going to close and you got it. And we basically said, yeah, this is a very strong buyer, completely pre-approved. We've known them for years. This will happen. And we got the deal. We got the nod. Our buyer got the house because of our reputation. So what you're saying isn't just theory, it's how it works. So choose your agent wisely.
Just a little technique we can talk about that Robert and I used very successfully, combining two ideas. One of them was that we always wanted to know, what does the seller really want? If I'm the listing agent, I want to have a candid conversation with my seller about what else is important to you besides the things that are on the listing. What else do you really want? If I'm presenting on behalf of a buyer, I'm going to ask that the listing agent, what does your seller really want? Why is that the case? Because very often there's something that isn't or isn't even appropriately written in the listing that's important. I will tell you, by asking that question, we have closed a lot of deals because we knew what to write in the contract.
Let me give you a great example of that. One of the things you'll see in listings that show up on the MLS is when the close of escrow and possession take place. And typically it's a little thing people don't even notice. Typically, you're going to be able to take possession upon close. But every now and then, you'll see an agent who lists COE plus 7 to 10 days, which means that their seller needs some time to get out of the property. That's a little thing. And if you miss that, if your agent represents you and says, no, we want it at COE, compare that to the agent like a Bob Helms who says, I've talked to my buyer. We're happy to give you 2 or 3 weeks if you need it. Now, that's independent of price and terms and closing and all that. That's just a little courtesy, but that can land you the listing. It shows that you're paying attention.
It's a sweetener. You know, anytime you're negotiating, you're trying to find little things you can add to the deal that really don't cost you much that will make a difference, you know. And this could be an assignment of rents. You know, we'll let you keep the income a little longer. It could be something to do with personal property, you know, and you say, hey, you know, I thought I was going to get that, but if it's important to you, you know, you can have it if I get the deal. I mean, just there's all kinds of little things. So the point that Bob is making is one you just don't want to miss, which is that you want to try to understand every hot button that the parties involved, and not just the seller, right, if you're on the buyer side, but you also want to understand the hot buttons of the agents. We've talked about some of them. Obviously, they want to get the deal closed. They want, you know, have as much of a hassle-free experience as possible. The commission, you know, the amount is obviously a motivation. There's other things that you can do. So just when you understand the business motivations of everybody at the table, then it gives you things that you can put in the contract or in the conversation that can make the deal go your way.
Now, here's the real world what blanket to that. It's good to want. You're not always going to get to know the seller's motivation. As much as you want to understand what the seller wants, some sellers think that's none of your business, and some agents aren't going to tell you. Deal with it.
The example Robert gave of our getting the nod. In other words, they said, if this buyer is going to close, you've got the deal. That was based on our reputation, but it represents something called surety. In other words, I really want this to close. That's what's important to me. If you tell me that this is surely going to close, then I'm willing to accept a lower price or other terms. So surety is just as important, sometimes more important to the seller than whether they got the very top price.
We're talking about finding and working with the right agents today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. We got lots of tips and techniques, and we're going to play real estate trivia before we're done. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Happy New Year.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
If you've been listening to the Real Estate Guys for a while, then you've heard about the legendary Investor Summit. Simply put, it's the highest level event we do, and the content, faculty, and attendees are amazing. If you're serious about taking your real estate investment to the next level, consider joining us. You'll spend an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals, and you'll have a blast. Join Peter Schiff, Ken McElroy, Tom Hopkins, and the Real Estate Guys for the 13th Annual Investor Summit at Sea. It all begins March 5th, 2015 in Miami, Florida. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and reserve your spot. The event is more than 80% sold out, so make plans to join us. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 13th Annual Investor Summit. Don't miss the boat.
Hello, Real Estate Guys listeners. This is Ken Corsini with Georgia Residential Partners. Now, I don't usually pitch specific deals on the Real Estate Guys podcast, but I've got one here at the beginning of 2015 that is too good to pass up. Now, here are the specifics. It's a fourplex in Atlanta, Georgia. Total sales price is $210,000. Monthly rent between all four units is $2,600 a month. So great cash flow right off the bat, but here's the kicker. We're going to owner finance this property with $50,000 down. That's right, you don't need a bank, you don't need good credit. $50,000 down gets you financing. Now, after taxes, insurance, and property management have been paid, That's about $860 a month in net positive cash flow. If that sounds interesting to you, call me today, 770-924-5450, or email me at ken@gainvesting.com.
Hi, this is Mark Skousen, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. Today, we're talking about one of the most important relationships you have as a real estate investor, your agents and brokers. And we use plural because you can have more than one agent or broker. However, having said that, let's be really, really clear. When you waltz into somebody's office and say, listen, I got $2 million burning a hole in my pocket and you find me a deal and I'll do it, and then you go right next door to the next office and the next office and the next office, and now you say, oh yeah, I got five agents in this town working for me. Here's the reality. You got nothing. You got nobody working for you. You want to be absolutely loyal to an agent who is the right agent in exchange for their absolute loyalty to you. This is such a two-way street. When I say multiple agents, that's because you have an agent maybe representing you in a marketplace for residential property. You have an agent representing you for commercial property. You have an agent that represents you for industrial property, for leases. Those are all different agents. Could be in the same geography. Or, like many real estate investors, you're investing in multiple markets. Your agent in Georgia is not going to be the same person that represents you most likely on your purchases in Florida. Those are usually two different people. So you can have more than one agent, but don't make the mistake of trying to enlist lots of agents to help you out. Pick a horse.
It's so urgent that you do that. It's a two-way street because the game of loyalty is, if I know you're loyal, if I know that you're going to give me the opportunity to work till I find you something, then I'll put in all the time and effort that's necessary. If I think you're not going to, the four-letter word is next. I've got to work with people who I can depend upon for their business. Now, from the agent's point of view, an age-old idea is simply this. It's so much easier to take care of the client I've already got than to go and find a new one. It's a lot less expensive. So what am I looking for? I'm going to give you my best service by making sure I stay in touch with you, by knowing what you need, by asking you what are your next plans. If, for example, you're an investor and not just a home buyer, even though you love me as a home buyer, I'm only going to hear from you every 5 to 7 years when you move and sell. If you're an investor, I want to be in contact with you all the time. I want to make sure I take care of you. If I'm doing a seminar or somebody I know is, I'm going to share that with you. In other words, I'm going to give you a touch that says you're important to me. I want to retain you as my client.
Well, so here's the deal. You have to understand a lot of the things you get taught about negotiation. How do you get the best deal? Assume that whatever you're buying is a commodity. Real estate is not a commodity. Just like we always say, it's not an asset class, right? Every deal, every ownership, every property, every neighborhood is unique. And because of that, it's highly inefficient. There's all kinds of inefficiencies in it. Hidden inside those inefficiencies are great opportunities for you to leverage or capitalize on those inefficiencies. And the people who know where those gaps are, where those opportunities are the people that are closest to the real estate community in that marketplace, in that particular product type. And that's where the great agent who's connected, they're going to have things like pocket listings. They're going to know what's happening before anybody else knows it's happening. And when they have that super hot deal, when they have that really good opportunity, or if you're on the seller side, when they have that really A buyer who's willing to pay top dollar, you want to be the person they call because you're their best friend. And you don't become somebody's best friend by demoralizing or demoting them to being a commodity. Real estate agents are not commodities. I see investors all the time think that mortgage brokers and all these service providers, oh, those are just commodities. I can switch them out just like I change my shoes. I don't believe that's true, because if you look in any marketplace, there's usually only one or two guys that are tops. They're not a commodity. The position, there might be 10,000 real estate agents in that community, but there's probably only a half a dozen that are really good, really connected. And in order to win there, some of them won't even take new clients, right? I mean, some of them are so busy, like Bob was just talking about, taking care of the people that have taken care of them. You've got to earn the right to even get on the list.
We have a broker like that on a marketplace who just his standard line for the last 8 years has been, I'm sorry, we're not taking new clients. And people are amazed by that. They sniff out and they go, this guy's the guy in the marketplace. And he absolutely is the guy in his marketplace. He just won't work with you. because he doesn't know that you're going to be serious. He doesn't know if you'll close or not. He's never had any transactions with you. We have another agent who is a good friend of ours who is the number one agent in his market by a lot. So he owns his marketplace. And he has a great story he shares that a guy comes into the office and says, listen, I'm really serious. I've got a bunch of money. When you find a great deal, you call me. Put me on your short list. To which his answer is, well, with all due respect, I've already got a short list. And you know who's on it? People that have already done lots of deals with me. I know them. I know they'll close. And because he's in a remote market, he says, here's what happens. A hot listing comes up. And I call my shortlist, and they need to wire money to me that day to get it. I just met you, and you're going to go back home, and I'm going to send you a hot listing, and you're going to say, well, let me check my calendar. It's going to be a couple of weeks till I can get out there. It's like, no, I need you to wire money today. We don't yet have a relationship where you'll wire money today. How do you build a relationship? By performing. So the biggest thing is you have to be earnest and you have to perform. If you're in the habit of getting into deals, a lot of guys teach this. Oh, just go tie it up. Tie up the property. That's crap. If you're tying up property and not closing on property, your reputation is you aren't for real. And no broker is going to work with you long term. Now, I'm not saying you can't get out of a deal if there's a glaring reason to. We have all the protections in a contract by using a professional so that if something is wrong with the deal or the property or the market or the tenant or the seller, you can get out. But you will develop a reputation by either performing or not performing. Same thing with your agent. Your agent needs to perform for you. You want to be on their short list. They want to have you on your short list. But you need to earn the right.
Yeah, I particularly like that idea, Robert. I mentioned a second idea a couple of minutes ago. One of the things that we used to do as agents was to submit an offer summary letter with every transaction. What was the purpose of doing that? It was simply so that, one, we got to highlight all the major terms of the transaction right on the top of the page. This is a one-page letter, by the way, that just accompanies the offer. So we got to talk about what's in it for the seller immediately. And then we had two other paragraphs. One was called About the Buyer and explain why this was the person you wanted to pick if you knew what you were doing. And the third one was About the Realtor. That was about us. For those of us who didn't meet, we would tell them something important like, this team has closed 95% of all the transactions they've ever been involved in the last 20 years. Something like that gets your attention. The point is, this was a quick summary. It gave them a little additional information, and most people never get anything like that. So it's just a little leg up.
Well, and part of it is the way that real estate has changed. When I started in the real estate sales business, it was very common that we would present an offer in person. We would be invited to the listing broker's office. We would sit in front of the listing broker and the seller. We would probably not have our buyer with us, but sometimes we'd, if it was a hot market, we'd have the buyer in the parking lot so they could come in and be the first to sign a counteroffer, but that's another story. And we would sit there and make a case for our buyer. Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, thank you so much for taking time to look at our offer. I think you're really going to be excited about it. It's at a really good price. We are strong. And let me tell you a little bit about my buyer. They're husband and wife. They have two small kids, right? And you start to tell them a little bit about the story. Now, it's different in the investment world, but not that different. You're painting the picture of who the client is and why they want to do business with you. And that used to be an advantage you could get if you were good at articulating that and if you had a story to tell. Well, as technology and time and all that has changed, today rarely does that opportunity happen. Usually it's fax it in. I had lunch with Ken McElroy a few weeks ago, and he was telling us about a deal that was so critical that he flew in to town, and that's why we were having lunch, to be there in person to make the best and final offer on a property he really wanted. His team typically goes out and scours for deals, finds deals, and even gets to the negotiating point until typically, in today's market, because of what he buys, big B-class apartment units, very competitive, there might be 10, 15, 35 offers. He wants to get into best and final, which means the broker says, all right, you four, you're the ones we like. Come back with your best and final offer. Well, Ken didn't just send his team. Ken showed up. So there is the opportunity in any kind of real estate to play in your favor, to make sure that you get that extra little bit of nod. As Bob would say, we want to get our unfair share of the folks out there, a better than average chance. If I'm one of four, I don't want a 25% chance. If I'm one of four, I want a 60% chance or a 90% chance. And your agent is going to help that. Your agent's reputation will determine, like we've talked about, how eager the other side is to work with you. And we're assuming that there's two agents in the transaction. If there's one agent in the transaction, then what you want is a schizophrenic agent that can be... Then what you, then what you really want is you want to make sure you can keep both parties' best interest. And you can, right? Think about a real estate transaction. The best real estate transactions are win-win transactions. Not, I screwed the other guy so I could make money transactions. There's a lot of people who play win-lose in real estate. They're out there beating the pavement trying to squeeze out somebody else's dollar. I don't believe in that. My personal investment philosophy is all about transactions where when we're done, everyone high fives and says, that was awesome. Let's do that again, right? The agent felt great about it. The lender felt great about it. The buyer felt great about it. The seller felt great about it. Most of what the buyer and seller want are exactly the same thing. They want a fast transaction. They want it to be certain. They want it to go smoothly. The only thing that they have at odds is how much the price is. The buyer wants to pay less and the seller wants to pay more. And who determines price? The market. At some point, we were just having a conversation last night with one of our Syndication Mentoring Club members. He's got a property he's really excited about. It's a hot market. And he says, I'm having to keep my emotions in check so I don't pay too much for the property. I can't pay based on tomorrow's price. I have to pay on what's there today. And that's just a discipline. And your broker can help you with that.
Just talking about that, you're talking about value. Price is a component of value. And if you lower the price enough, the value becomes compelling. But you can keep the price up a little bit by adding sweeteners, and that can work for you on either end of it.
Agent and broker relationships are critical. We're talking about how you build the right ones today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. When we come back, it's time to play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Memphis, Tennessee is a market that delivers in more ways than one. As home to FedEx, Memphis is one of the largest distribution hubs in the world. That means working class jobs. No wonder Memphis is one of the best cash flow real estate markets in America. And the guy in Memphis who can deliver great affordable cash flow turnkey properties is Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com. That's turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Kendra Todd, winner of The Apprentice, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, the number one downloaded podcast on real estate investing. Thanks for tuning in today. It's a brand shiny new year, and we're excited about that. We've got a great year of Real Estate Guys shows planned for you, all kinds of cool interviews and topics coming up. Today, what we're talking about is one of the key relationships you have, working with your real estate agent or broker in the marketplace to make sure that you're getting all the service you need, you're getting access to the properties, you're getting your property sold and all of that. We'll get back to that discussion. It's time to play real estate trivia. Your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you a silly question about real estate that you're going to laugh at and then try to come up with the answer to. If you do and you're quick about it, you can win a copy of a great book, speaking of real estate agents, written by the co-founder of REMAX, Mr. Dave Leniger, one of the all-time icons in the real estate business, has written a book not about real estate, but about a personal journey called My Next Step. You're going to love the book. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Before we get to this week's question, last week on The Real Estate Guys, we were talking about opportunities and land, and we asked this. In the television show Green Acres, a couple from the big city pick up and move to the country to be farmers. Which big city did they come from? Well, of course, New York City. They came from the Big Apple. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Name the official state beverage of North Dakota. The state of North Dakota has, as you would imagine, an official state beverage. What is it? If you know or you want to take a guess, and I doubt you know, so take a guess and send us your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com, unless you're from North Dakota, and I think we have two listeners in North Dakota. So tell us what the state beverage is. Send your email to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Make sure you include your name and mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to send you an actual hard copy of My Next Step, the great book by Dave Leniger. Name the official state beverage of North Dakota. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking about working with real estate agents and brokers. And part of the working together part is just that. Once you establish the relationship and you've picked a good agent, you want to make sure that you can work together. And really part of picking a good agent, I guess we should say, is to make sure you have a match. A match in terms of personality and work style, but also in terms of product type. If I'm trying to find B-class apartment buildings and the 15 to 25 unit range, because I think that's a sweet spot in my market, I want to make sure I'm dealing with an agent that knows that inventory, who has represented people, who has maybe sellers with those kinds of properties. I don't want to go after a residential agent. And having a mismatch can ruin the deal. I will tell you right now, we know of a group of investors who have a property, a really good property, a piece of land. It's been listed for 3 years. Now, before you know anything else about it, what do you know automatically when I tell you a piece of property's been listed for 3 years?
The price is probably a little high.
There you go.
Perhaps.
There's one thing that sells real estate, and that's price. But that doesn't mean the only thing to do is to discount, because there's lots of better ways to get the nod. Here's the problem. People, what's the problem? Why isn't it selling? The problem is what they have to sell is raw land. And in this marketplace, like many marketplaces, the quote-unquote going rate for land brokerage is different than what it is for residential or for commercial brokerage. So in this marketplace, most houses are transacting in real estate offices at a 6% commission. Okay, well, that's reasonable, and that seems to be a rate that you hear in a lot of marketplaces. In many marketplaces, land transactions typically happen at 10%. Well, why is that? Well, because a land transaction is a big transaction with a lot of issues around entitlements and zoning and regulations and disclosures and mapping and wetlands and all that stuff. And yet the price of a property, just the land part, isn't as high as it would be if it had improvements on it, say an apartment building. And so for that reason, the agents who are in that space have kind of a history of charging a little more. It doesn't mean that you can't find an agent that'll work for less, but typically land transactions in this marketplace are 10%. So what does this group do? Well, first of all, this group is made up of a bunch of what we call mom and pops. So they aren't thinking like commercial land owners. They're thinking like people who list and sell houses occasionally. So they go find a really great, impressive agent who's a residential agent. And their motivation is he'll do it for 6%. He'll list it for 6%, which means in the market, he's offering 3. Meanwhile, all the competition in the market are guys who are in the land business who are offering 5. So if you're somebody representing a owner or a builder or a developer that's looking for land, and you see all these different listings and they're all offering 5%, 5%, 5%. This guy's offering 6, he's motivated, and here's this offering at 3. Which one are you going to show last, if at all?
So you're saying this guy is too high priced and he doesn't want to pay me as much as I need to make it worth my while.
Well, Bob, he needs the money.
You know, that's really important. We should always consider that. If they need the money, well, certainly we'll pay more, won't we?
Your need has nothing to do. We hear this all the time, but I need to get more. Well, that's really interesting. What does that have to do with the price of coffee? Nothing. The buyer is going to pay what the market dictates and what they're able to. It's in the eye of the perceiver, right? So you're not going to be able to get what you need. You're going to be able to get what the market can give you. Now, you know what? A great agent is going to be able to get the price up. A great agent is going to be able to create multiple offers. A great agent is going to be able to have a campaign around your property. A great listing agent. A great buyer's agent is just the other way. A great buyer's agent is going to isolate the deal. A great buyer's agent is going to show you stuff nobody else shows you. A great buyer's agent is going to have what Russ talked about, pocket listings. That's someone who they know wants to sell a property, but it's not listed yet. There's all kinds of things that the right agent can do to get you the property at the right price.
I think that last example you gave had a real important principle in it. I want to make sure people don't miss it because it's really important. And we talked earlier about commodities and when don't make this thing a commodity. You got to understand that the more niche the product type you're in is, the more important that you get plugged into the people who are part of that niche. that work with people who are in that community. I mean, and there's a lot of it, right? Because this is a business of relationships and referrals. So if you have people who are actively working with architects and civil engineers and people who have clients who are maybe beginning preliminary discussions about looking for a suitable site to do a project, nobody else is going to know that that demand is in the market yet. Those people aren't out there actively knocking on doors looking to purchase. And so that's a way for you to work into a community, is to go in through these side doors in addition to getting connected with a great agent. We used to do in our foundations class coming into one of our coaching programs was a foundations program. And we talked a lot about consumer versus investor mentality. And one of the very first things we said when you decide you want to be a real estate investor is you have to develop investor mentality. And it's how you think, right? I'm not spending money to pay commission. I'm investing money to get a better deal. I'm not spending money by lowering the price. I'm investing money in order to get the deal done, get my capital back, and be able to move on to the next thing where I can make more money. Because we recognize as investors, not getting the deal done is an opportunity cost. Every day that property you're referring to sits unsold, that money is not working. It's just sitting there waiting. And if you were to sell it for a little bit less or pay a little bit more commission to get the right guy, then you get your money back and you can move on and take advantage of some of the other great things happening in the marketplace. Investors are willing to cut their losses. You know, they say, you know, hey, this deal isn't working out. I need to get out of it. Consumers are like, I can't afford to sell less than that. It's one of the aggravations I know, having worked with a lot of residential real estate agents, is they're dealing with homeowners. And homeowners don't care what the market is. They think, you know, 4 years ago at the peak, my house was worth this.
And did you see that beautiful red shag carpeting I put in? My wife picked that out.
That's a whole, of course, the mistake that you think that everybody thinks like you and they don't. I mean, so the point is part of getting a great investment agent, because we're talking about real estate investing and going into a marketplace, is developing in yourself investor mentality and approaching it. Because if people sniff out who are professionals, who are working with investors, that you're really infected with consumer mentality, they're not going to want to work with you.
Let me give you a huge paradigm on that. You probably, since the time you were small, were trained to ask for a lower price. And one of the areas you absolutely do not want to do that is when you're hiring a broker. Don't negotiate the broker's commission down, because what you've just done is revealed yourself as that nickel and dimer. Every day, the broker's waking up and deciding who are they going to go work with today. And you think the person that's asking to get in their pocket is the person they're excited about working with? Absolutely not. Now, having said that, here's what you do. Always ask the agent if they'll take a reduction in commission. If you're listing a property, ask the agent if they'll take less. And if they say they will, then don't use them. If they will cave on their money, imagine what's going to happen when an offer comes in and it's your money. You do not want an agent who is weak. You want a strong agent who will defend their value. Now, having said that, we have many relationships where brokers, great brokers, give us a brother-in-law rate, a deal. They discount a little bit, not because they're discount brokers, but because they appreciate the loyalty. We're loyal to them. They're loyal to us. It's a two-way street. If you need to get in the agent's pocket to make your deal, it's the wrong deal. The margin shouldn't be that thin.
Well, I mean, think about this, right? We talk all the time about how do you keep your properties leased up? How do you keep them full? And you do it by charging just a little bit less than full market rent. Sure, you could push all your tenants right up to the limit, and some of them you're going to push right out the door.
Yep.
And you have to ask yourself, what does it cost me every month I have that property sitting vacant? Even 1 or 2 weeks, just having to turn the property, that $25 a month that pushed my tenant out the door just cost me $1,000 in turn costs or more, right? It's just false economy. It's the same thing here. You know, we're talking about when you go in and you try to absolutely max out your profit by minimizing the compensation to the people who are representing you, and you think somehow that's boosting your bottom line, I think, and it's hard to quantify, but just, you know, anecdotally, I can tell you from experience, it's really not true, because you don't get everybody's best efforts. And at the end of the day, real estate investing is a team sport. And if you want to get everybody's best efforts, you've got to leave a little meat on the bone for them. Just like if you want your tenants' loyalty, you got to leave a little meat on the bone for them too. If they know you're giving them a good deal and they know that, they're not going to call you with every little thing because they don't want to rock the boat. Hey, I got a good deal here.
But if they're paying top dollar, they're going to call you for every little thing.
Exactly.
And then they're probably going to break some stuff just so they feel good about it.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about a relationship with an agent, we've talked about loyalty. Loyalty is extremely important. One of the other considerations that goes with loyalty is a relationship of candor with your agent. It's important that your agent really knows where you're coming from, what you're trying to accomplish. When I'm interviewing a new investor client, I have a questionnaire for them. I want to know a lot about them. I want to know what their history is, what their background is, what they own, where they own it, who manages it. Much more importantly, what do you want to do going forward? What is your plan? Do you have a plan? I want to be your agent on a long-term relationship. That's not going to happen if all we're talking about is how much of my commission you can have.
Well, in any negotiation, you're going to have concessions. And if your agent really knows what your priorities are, you know, hey, these are the things I absolutely won't move on. Here's things that I'd like to have. But if I got to give them away to get the deal done, I will. So you have to get to know yourself and be clear yourself. And then you have to communicate that candidly, as Bob said, with your agent so they know how to represent you properly. It's no different than dealing with your doctor or your attorney or your tax preparer or any other professional who you're expecting to really go out and do whatever the transaction is in your best interest. It presupposes you've accurately communicated to them what's really important to you, and you need to do that.
And you know, a lot of people don't. There's certain people, especially in certain cultures, where they don't say anything. They play it so close to the vest. They won't tell the agent their motivation. Well, that is like having your agent's hands tied behind their back. They can't help you unless you're clear. You want to develop the type of relationship where you can be 100% open and honest with your broker and vice versa. We're talking today about working with brokers and agents. We come back, we give some practical tips and techniques on things you can do to get that extra slight edge. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of sharing the services of Paradigm Life with you loyal Real Estate Guys Radio listeners through our website, www.beyourbank.com, and also on the annual Investor Summit at Sea. Subsequently, we have seen a variety of financial situations across the socioeconomic spectrum and how everyone, regardless of their situation, would improve their financial lives by following the system we specialize in. As a result of this experience, we have created an online e-learning system so anyone without obligation can learn about the infinite banking concept. This free e-learning program is found on our website, www.beyourbank.com. So check it out today. The website again is www.beyourbank.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. And while U.S. real estate continues to drop, Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Have fun. You'll learn something.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. We're talking about working with real estate agents, and let's talk about some techniques you can use, some things your agent can do. We just got off the phone last night with one of our students, and he's got a really unique situation. It's kind of a cool deal, but it illustrates a couple of things. He's developing a property, and it's an infill property, meaning everything developed around it. This is, you know, an opportunity for him to build a product that's desperately needed in the marketplace. Well, as soon as construction has started, several of the neighbors have called him directly to say, hey, I have a house in the neighborhood and my land's big and you might be able to do that. So anyway, he's getting these unsolicited calls. So what does he do? He puts his agent on the job. He puts his agent, he says, absolutely, we're very interested. Let me have my team contact you. And now the agent calls. Why is that important? Because again, he understands the importance of arm's length. he's maybe a good negotiator, but he doesn't know these people. He doesn't know their motivation. He's also a busy guy. So he sends his agent in on his behalf. Now, this is a great technique. In this case, the agent is able to third-party endorse why it makes sense for this person to be the buyer and can find out from the seller, what do you need? What are you thinking price-wise? When do you need to be out? This is a situation where these people have houses they're living in, but the use of the land would be to scrape those houses and to build multifamily. That's what he's doing. And it would work with the zoning in this area, with what's happening in the neighborhood, it would work. So he's very interested in pursuing this. He's putting his agent in the deal. Now, some people go, well, why would you give up commission? You could do that deal directly. That's consumer mentality. Investor mentality is, oh, no, no, I want the agent to be involved. I want them to have a reason to get out there and fight for me and get me land.
Well, think about this. I mean, who ultimately is going to pay the commission? The seller. And so now the person who's getting these calls, we'll call him Bob, just to have a name. I mean, he's got a card to play. He can feed his team. And that, understand that the people who are working with you and for you need to eat. And they want to eat. That's why they get up every day and go to work. And when you have an opportunity to put bread in their basket, right, do it.
Absolutely.
It could be a referral. It could be giving them an opportunity because now they're going to be that much more loyal, that much more inspired to work with you, to look out for you, to get you the right deal, to bring buyers, sellers, whatever you need, to refer you to people that can help you advance your business. Feed the people around you and they'll feed you.
There's another important thing when we're talking about price versus value. In this case, he's a developer looking to buy what is in his mind raw land, and he has a price he can pay for that. But you know what? If you look at a pro forma on what a developer makes, whether he pays an extra $25,000 or $50,000 is going to mean pennies in the total performance. So he's not a guy that's driven by necessarily paying the absolute low price. That's another card he can play. The seller's going to expect that he's going to want to pay rock bottom, but maybe not. Everybody wants a deal. How important is the deal? Back to expectations and what is the agent trying to do for you? If what you tell your agent is, listen, I always want to go in 20, 30% below asking price, how many agents want the reputation of always coming in at 20 or 30% below asking price? That's not a win-win. All right, let's talk about another way that you can use your ability to buy a property in a great, great way. We have another student who, this is a great, great story. He's got a commercial broker in an area and listings are tight. And so this guy is trying to get listings in the marketplace. Our student is a real buyer. He comes in and forges a relationship with his broker and says, listen, use me. Go to owners who aren't on the market and say, I have a buyer in hand who wants to buy the following. And that's exactly what he's doing. Now, what does our guy get for that? First look at every deal. So it's a great synergistic relationship. This is a young, eager broker. He's done some deals. He knows the marketplace, but he doesn't have a lot of inventory. How do you get inventory? What do sellers want? Sellers want a buyer. You say, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, you own this 20-unit apartment building. You've had it for a long time. It's in some disrepair. You don't have it on the market. I've got a guy right now who's willing to buy your property. Could you get in some conversations that way? Could you get some listings that way? That's a great way. Here's another way to get the nod. Another thing Ken McElroy was sharing with me. Ken McElroy has great broker relationships, and he will typically have a broker in a marketplace that represents him. Now, he has a huge organization. He could have in-house people, but he doesn't. He uses a local broker. Every now and then, when there's keen competition for a property, you know who he uses? The listing broker. He'll go to the listing broker and say, rather than me have my broker write it up, how about you represent us? Why would they be interested in that, Bob?
Gee, why would they be interested in that? There's two reasons. You may think it's just the double commission. It's control of the transaction.
Bingo.
I can make it happen if I am working with both parties.
So the bottom line here is that you want to make sure that you develop and manage all of your relationships with long-term thinking. Your broker relationship can be a key one. Some of the best deals we have ever done, we have been the only person shown the deal. The way you become the only person shown the deal is to perform, to be respectful, to be loyal, to refer clients, and to do the deal. Develop that kind of reputation and you're going to have a stellar career in real estate and an awesome 2015. Hey, thanks for tuning in today. Next week on The Real Estate Guys, we've got a great show for you. We've got a great year of Real Estate Guys shows ahead. We're excited about that. Come out and meet The Real Estate Guys with the secrets of successful syndication. We'll be showing you how to make big money doing bigger deals in Las Vegas, Nevada, the first weekend in February. It's a really cool event. All the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.